All right. My audacity is up and I can click record at any gorgeous time that you tell me is appropriate.
Yeah, whenever you're feeling it. Like, we barely know what we're doing. So
Oh, that's good. I hear that's good for ventures like this. Which is incidentally what I did when I was like, I think I'll make a silly little YouTube video. So, you know, what the hell.
I love it.
Very cool. All right, I'm going to click record. It's recording now, so
perfect.
Nice.
So here we are. Our podcast abilities are running off of a book written by the McElroys, so that's a good start.
Pretty much. I have seen the Nuzlocke run for Pokemon X and Y at least 3 times. That's all I have to contribute.
I haven't even seen that.
Oh, so it's very entertaining.
Contribution.
Highly recommend it.
What is it?
It's Pokemon X and Y Nuzlocke run with Griffin. Run. And Nuzlocke is where there's very specific rules and they're kind of brutal. So if Pokemon faints, you have to release it, which creates this reality TV heartbreak vibe because you get really attached to these Pokemon that you nickname and then you have to let them go. It's very funny. It's honestly equivalent to like any 5-season TV show. I'm not even exaggerating. It's very good. So... There's my plug for something completely unrelated, Griffin, if you need my help.
No, I'm distracted by that. Anyway. Hi.
Hi.
So.
Hey.
We're here. How are you? How are you doing?
What's up, man? I'm chilling. I clearly have a really cool and tight organized schedule, like an up-and-coming creator, because I'm trying to juggle like 12 different things. So, you know, I'm here. Everything's great, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Thanks for even asking me to do this. So.
Yeah,
it's really excited to have you on here, and I'm interested to talk about the things that you do.
Yeah, I was gonna say, y'all got like questions, because I can certainly make myself talk forever, but I don't know specifically what y'all want to know.
Well, let's start off like this. Patrick, you know Patrick. He knows you.
I've met him once or twice. This is my first time. I've met him once or twice.
A bar here or there, yeah.
Here or there.
Ooh, apparently there's lore.
Oh, yeah, that's what that is. Lore. Human interaction has become lore now, which is so true. Okay.
The history. The deep history. But why don't you go ahead and, like, introduce yourself. Who are you?
Who am I? I mean, I don't know if I can answer that in a short amount of time. I'm Sara. You can call me Sar if you're on the internet, I guess, now, because I like single syllables. I am one half, though as of now I've made the majority of the content just because I can permit myself to, of a YouTube channel called 5x5 Takes, which went through several name iterations that are actually pretty funny if I could find the doc of the original names, but that is a reference to a tagline from a Buffy character, who was very cool, very neat, that I made with my long-distance bestie. just under a year ago. Which was sort of the fruit of many years of going, you know, and people were like, oh my god, we should start a podcast. We were like, oh my god, we should make a YouTube channel. And that was like that for like years. And then at a certain point, we were just like, you want to just do the damn thing? it's a cheeky little, I think video essay is a bit too strict and dare I say pretentious, so it's not, I mean, it's not everything is technically an essay, it's sometimes it's more prose, but I'm a huge fan of stories and specifically TV shows. I think that's the king medium for me, and I talk about ones that I think are very tight and why I think they are very tight. So
nice. Yeah, I feel like as far as like stories go, I've had people recommend movies to me recently, and I can't even name the last movie I sat down and watched. It's always been TV shows for at least like the last year. For some reason, it's, you know, maybe it's just the fact that it's essentially kind of like similar to like a book where you're breaking this whole story up into chapters instead of like, oh, here's the whole thing in 3 hours or, you know, 1500 hours if you're Marvel or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, genuinely, I have a tentative script for why TV is my favorite medium that I want to write at some point because I'm in complete agreement. I mean, there's a reason that I mean, I'll talk about other stuff, I mean, to my friends and on the channel, because whatever, that's what we're talking about here. But I think TV shows for that reason. I have a whole fucking, oops. You know, whatever. I have a whole fucking spiel about why I think, in my opinion, TV shows trump movies, just in terms of what they can do. And simply two things. One, you have more time, which is obvious, right? And two, you invite them into your home. There's something personal about you sort of having, this is why I think regular, like, episodes versus binge watches is also superior, because you get this sort of regular appointment, right, with the world, with the characters, with the story, and so when you experience it piecemeal, and even more so when you experience it piecemeal with other people, right, and not knowing what's happening, and not just, like, this thing dumped in your lap, right, it becomes as much a part of you, and you give a part of yourself to it, and I think that exchange is so much more interesting to me, right, rather than you either go to a, you know, movie theater where you watch a movie, 2 hours, you know, the characters were there, but, like, who's to say any more about them? And then it's over, right? I think it's really, really tight to be like, oh my god, I know these people. Oh my god, I've been with these people for hours and hours and hours. And so then, you know, inevitably any questions, any ideas that the story has presented, I think hit a lot more because they're happening through characters that you personally feel like you are more connected to. Again, you know, not that I think about that a lot or anything, but, you know.
I like that. So that's actually an interesting idea, too, because I feel like in the past several years with Netflix taking over the world and whatnot, do you think that this jump to streaming services where I feel like maybe I'm just behind the curve and I'm not keeping up with TV shows that are being released through Netflix or Hulu, but I feel like it's just like the entire season gets dumped, right? Or like the entire series. So do you think that has an effect on the, what you're saying, like the piecemeal approach, where it used to be, oh, every Tuesday we're going to sit, my friends and I are going to watch this show or something. And do you think that break between the episode releases kind of, you know, built something different that we don't get today with the, I'll just call it like the streaming series dump.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think the episodic TV show is a bit of a lost art. Because even here, so there's two things, right? There's episodic versus serialized TV, right? And there's most things are hybrids, but it's essentially, you know, is this, you know, a 22 episode season with quote unquote fillers, which I think fillers are super important, whatever, versus here's, you know, 8 episodes, like Stranger Things, right? Start to finish. There is a complete story. And again, there's another season, but that's the story. Versus, I mean, there's stuff that's dropped on streaming services, but is released piecemeal. Like, I have not seen WandaVision, but I'm actually pretty intrigued just by the way that it's being released. I think it's very cool, and I think it's bringing up stuff that I've missed in TV, which you sort of see. Again, I haven't even seen it, and I can see people theorizing and going, oh my god, this week's episode was, like, so crazy. And I think that's really neat. I think that's a really important part of shows that I've missed when they get dropped all at once. So I think, you know, obviously it's possible to do it streaming-wise. Because, you know, people don't have TV as much as they do. But I think that, A, yes, the episodic format is a lost art, and I think it's really, I think it's coming back, but I think something makes me sound like a boomer, but, like, you know, our attention spans are smaller, or we treat them like they're smaller, and so we want, you know, stuff that's more easily consumable. But you basically have, like, what this does is it gives you two types of stories, right? One, which is, here is a really intense week in someone's life, right? 5 to 10 episodes, right? Here's a really intense period of someone's life, and it's plot-driven, right? There's character stuff, of course, but it's plot-driven. Every episode is usually going to end on a cliffhanger, and you are hurtling towards some sort of, you know, plot development. Versus, we spend time with this fun group of people, you know, in their lives, and every so often, especially at the end of a season, something really intense happens, right? But for the most part, we're hanging there with, you know, in their life, right? And there's one-offs, the monster of the week, or the, you know, the X of the week, right? And then sometimes it's really heightened. So it's just two different types of experiences. You know what I mean? It's like, it's akin to, again, you're partaking in someone's really intense period in someone's life versus you are a part of someone's long-term, you're watching someone's long-term life and like, oh, by the way, here's something crazy. And I think both can be really enjoyable. Like, I mean, I love a good binge show that's like really short and then it's over and whatever, and plot and, you know, cliffhangers, and that's fun. But I do miss the long form. I miss it. So, yeah.
Well, I think it's really interesting you talk about, like, WandaVision and new episodes coming out in segments, because that's something that I think has been lost, because it's, like, with things get dropped, it's like, oh, have you watched all, like, hours worth of content of this thing, versus, like, oh, did you see the new episode? I can't wait for next week's episode, and not, like, serial fucking...
Like, because it makes it like a shared experience. Yeah, totally. Right? That's the point. Totally. That's I mean, not that you can't do that once it's dropped, but it has a shorter shelf life. You know what I mean? Like, everyone, you know, it comes out and then people watch it, you know, it's, you know, whatever span of time. And then at some point, most people are done. Right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, maybe you watch it later, but at that point, it sort of left the public consciousness. Again, not that that's necessary, that you have to. But there is something really nice about we're all on the same page. Right? None of us can skip ahead, you know? Like, I don't know what happens next. What do you think happens next? And so we're all waiting, right? And I think that participatory element, here's the obligatory something, something COVID, something, something, you know, social life, yada, yada, we need each other. But I think stories, by virtue of being stories about us, are something that I think is best shared. I mean, that's literally what I do. I sit here and make my silly little appeals to my silly little shows, and then I go, hey, what do y'all think? You know, like, that's what we do. And I think that the medium and the format that allows for the most social and, you know, interactive experience with shows like this, like WandaVision, whatever, I think that's tight. I think that's the tightest kind. So
that is fucking tight. Yeah. Like, seriously.
It's
like,
very tight.
Because I kind of want to, like, drive on that a little bit more, because I have, just to go on a tangent and stuff, you know.
Please, like, that's, you know, all, like, I ever do.
I get it. I have a customer who comes into our store, and he watches the same web show I do. We both are huge Critical Role fans, and, like, we're both talking about the new episode coming out, you know? We're like, I'll see you in the Twitch chat, you know? Like, you get things live, like, together as a community, as an experience together that you don't really get to get when you're, like, binge-watching all of one show by yourself, waiting for somebody else to do the same.
Yeah. Totally.
Totally. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your...
Oh, no. I mean, you didn't?
Yeah.
I talked. Yeah. You talked. We're chilling.
We are chilling.
But yeah, there's like the two things, episodic and serialized, and most things are hybrids, and generally like the length. And I think the length has gotten shorter. And I think I don't know. Maybe I'm just projecting, but I do see a little like swing back to longer seasons, and longer seasons take more to produce. They're quote-unquote slower paced, which I think is so funny when people are like, it was too slow about certain shows. I'm like, well, that's good. It makes the world feel lived in. Again, my personal preference, but I think it's very cool when a world feels lived in and there's not always something super heightened happening. So when you have like, when you like 15 20 episodes, I don't know if we'll ever get back to the 22 episode season as prominently as, you know, when people had actual TVs. But I dig that. I dig that a lot. It's just two very different flavors of story, even when you talk TV shows, right? So it's like between movies and TV shows, right? Plot versus character-driven, TV shows tend to be more character-driven to begin with, right? They're longer than movies, no matter what, right? Then within TV shows, you go, is it an 8-episode season or is it a, let's say, you know, 15 to 22 episode season, right? How much content are we working with? And then even between those two, are you saying, is it, because even a short season, right, might be dropped one at a time. Who's to say, right? Is it dropped all at once or is it dropped in little pieces? And at each of those, like, intervals, right, it changes the way you experience it. So, yeah. And you could, you know, argue for better or for worse. It's a different taste thing, but it's like, even when we talk shows, they're all so different. Yeah.
That is interesting you talk about things feeling lived in and things going at a slower pace, because I think that's, like, really important that people like watch things and it's like a constant adrenaline rush of like, what's going on? Like shit's happening. And like, you know, I do miss a slow beach episode, you know, like water bottle episode. We're all just hanging out and existing in this like fantasy world. And you just get to, like you said, like hang out with these characters that you've grown accustomed to and they've grown to love. And
God, so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, dude, like my, my favorite, like off the top of my head, like all of my favorite shows are that, Buffy, Avatar, Person of Interest, and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Like, if I have to name four, and all of those are pretty long seasoned shows. And I think, again, some people might call it filler, and like, I don't even think filler is the right term, but if you want to call it that, I think that's so crucial to just be like getting to see people. Right. If okay, not to be too fake deep here, but right, if a story is a medium to consider ourselves and to have a cathartic experience, right? You see, you feel what they feel when, you know, dealing with, you know, all sorts of human emotions and thoughts and loss and fear, whatever. That's gonna work best if you feel connected to the people that it's happening to, and you're gonna feel more connected to the people it's happening to when you get to see them in different contexts. Not all of which are I'm running for my life. Where it's like, hey, literally the beach in Avatar, in season 3, fantastic episode, and because it's pure character study, right? And it's always on like a lot of people's favorite lists, right? It's just, and then right when the heightened stuff happens, when you get the season finale stuff, you're gonna be like, oh wow, I actually really do care because I've spent the last year hanging out with you. So if you're having a bad time, like I'm invested. Like, you know, I enjoy, you know, the shorter season shows I've watched, seasoned, anyway, I've enjoyed, but they're not ones that stick in the same way. Like, I even forget, like, I'm like, oh, Sex Education, I really like that, which I do like Sex Education, but it takes me a while to remember it, so, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like in that, it's kind of just, in these stories, the writer or creator, like, creates this world, and our investment in the story and in the characters kind of also hinges on the world and it being a believable reflection of our own. And so I think that's where those, like you're saying, like the bottle episodes are super important. And I guess just to reflect with back onto, like, I guess not back onto, but Dungeons and Dragons, like one thing that's super cool is like, because I DM a lot, and so one thing that I think is interesting is kind of, and is cool, is if I can like create kind of like an environment or like a world, and then essentially the players kind of, you know, decide what to do, and they have like a good time. They basically have their own bottle episode, and it's like from a creation perspective on my end, that's just like super fulfilling, because it's like, oh, I did, you know, create basically a sandbox where we can kind of escape. And I feel like that a lot of stories do the same thing, where we have to believe that the world that the story is taking place in, you know, it's something that we can invest in and is believable. I think that was a rambling mess.
No, it was not. And props to you. I started playing D&D last year, and with you there, man.
Fucking love Dungeons and Dragons. That is not news.
So, what exactly, like, was there, like, an instance or, like, a time or moment that drove you to start 5x5? Or, because I know earlier you said it was kind of just like, oh, yeah, we should start this, and then just kind of...
I was just saying, well, it was the like, build of several years. It started two things. So, the video that blew up, I don't know why I said two things. It's one thing. The video that blew up, and that then I was like, oh, people are here. Because I made a cheeky little Buffy video. But when I made my She-Ra video, that's when I went from, like, nobody to, like, oh, hello. Oh, there's people here. Okay. Guess I'll do this. It was kind of it. I don't know. Like, because at the beginning of that last year, I had... started materializing a little bit more, in the sense that when I got a new laptop as part of the bundle to get a discount, I totally didn't lie to Apple and totally didn't tell them I was a student when I had graduated that May, And got with my
bundle record.
Uh-huh. And I got with my bundle Final Cut because I was like, wait, I can get editing software, which I don't know how to use, but I know I've wanted to make a YouTube video or a YouTube channel. So I had the software. And yeah, I finished She-Ra in like a blind fury. And I was so, I can't even like express the like levels of emotional just discombobulation by the end of it that I was like, I literally, my first video, I was like, I don't even know what I want to say. I just have to say something. And then that popped off and I was like, well, I guess we are doing this. That's sort of it, you know, but, yeah. And like it was, you know, I'd been calling with Fox and it was kind of fun to like actually be like, no, like the hardest thing is getting like the momentum to get things off the ground, because you can talk and talk forever, and I was like, okay, let's open a doc and let's write names. Like I made the channel, I set up an email, I set up a, you know, PayPal, etc., etc. So
yeah, I think that's interesting because that you brought that up, because like, so as of right now, we've just recorded two other episodes where we literally just interviewed each other. And so far, 100% of the episodes, like one of the things that we've talked about is how hard it is to just get the ball rolling and how like, mm-hmm. it feels like most of the time that's the hardest thing to do. Just because like you said, you just talk and talk. You're like, oh, I have this idea. It'd be cool. Oh, like I have some friends who play music. It'd be cool if we ever met up. Or like, oh, I have this friend who, you know, draws this or something. It'd be cool if we put together some sort of collective show or something. But then like actually doing that is, it's almost like it's like something completely out of our grasp when it's, in hindsight, it's like, oh, that was a lot easier than I anticipated. Or at least that's how I feel about it most of the time. It's just like, yeah, just fuck it. Just go for it.
Yeah, man. That's, I mean, and that's, even every time I make a video, it's, I'm acting like I'm this like seasoned YouTuber, and I'm not, but like every time I make a video, I'm like, oh my god, like seeing it come together, I'm like, there's a really bizarre feeling of, you know, because a video starts as me, you know, sitting up bolt upright in my bed at like 2:30 and going, wait a minute, like whoa, I just thought about like, what if I did a video on like, you know, whatever, and then I get up and I frantically write into a Google Doc, and then suddenly once I record and I say it out loud with my voice, and I have the cheeky little audio file, and I put it into my program, I'm like, oh, this is real. Like, once, you know, once it's in there, and then there's clips on it, I'm like, oh, this is a YouTube video, you know, okay. It's very weird seeing things. It's very weird, and it's very, fulfilling, sounds so cheesy, but whatever. That's the word I got at the moment. The feeling of seeing something go from this immaterial thing in your brain, like, huh, that's a neat idea. Like, literally just in making a video. Like, that's always so fucking wild. And then it's like, oh, no, this is, like, a real thing that I can kind of hold with my little hands. And literally the only step between that is just doing the damn thing. Like, I mean, and I say this with the guilt of my person of interest video. Literally behind this Zoom call looking at me because I have not made progress on it. You know, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, but you're working on it.
I have it in a minute, and I someone could probably psychoanalyze me and tell me why I'm self-sabotaging and too stressed out to, you know, make more progress. But I will. But you know, yeah, because at a certain point you do it or you don't, right? That's the thing with making anything, you do it or you don't, you know. And I think some of the pressure of like, I literally don't know how I got here. Half the time I'm just like, I'm confused. But now there's, you know, a decent amount of people who are there and subscribed and expecting stuff, or at least, you know, kind of expecting stuff. And I'm like, okay, I better get off my ass and actually like put my money where my mouth is, you know, like make something. So that helps. Yeah.
Well, you're making things. And I think part of the thing that you like, what is the word I'm looking for? Unlocked, sure, is like the getting out of bed at 3 a.m. after you've had the idea and writing it down and doing something with it. Because it's like, that's part of the hardest thing is like, okay, you have an idea. You have to pursue the idea if anything's ever going to happen.
No, I'm genuinely like, I feel I hate myself so much. My writing process is just like incoherence personified. Like, I have no ideas for new videos until I like lay my head down. And then my mind just goes, hey, have you ever considered? And then there's like four or five. And I go, well, I'm comfortable and I really should sleep, but if I don't write this down, I'm going to forget. So I either write it as a text to myself or record a voice memo or just get out of bed, type frantically, incoherently into a Google Doc and go back to bed. So there's that's my writing process, which nobody should ever emulate ever. But, you know,
I think that's the best writing process, to be honest.
I think it's terrible and it makes me so stressed out, but that's what we're doing at the moment. That's why I have like 11 tabs of just scripts in progress, and script is such a generous word for what these things are. But again, right? Again, you put the human energy into it and suddenly it coalesces together to look like something. So
you take that incoherence and you smear it on a canvas and it turns into a fucking painting.
Well, literally, dude. Yeah. Like, literally. And, like, so much of the... I can also not ramble at any point if you guys have, like, structured questions, but, like...
Please continue to ramble. I'm in love with it.
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. That's... Literally, see, this is the... That's why making YouTube videos is such a good outlet, because literally, just, like, I don't know how to shut up at a certain point. I'm just like, oh, and another thing. Which is great, because then, you know, people have to listen to me. Or they don't, but, you know, they have the option to. But... That's why, like half of the editing stuff when I make a video, like this is part of like the getting out of my head thing, right? Just doing the damn thing, right? Because I get really stuck on, you know, so many of us are like this. I look at a script and I hate it and it doesn't flow and I feel like I'm missing something and like this is not a clean transition or whatever, and it just sits and it sits and it sits, and then I feel guilty. And sometimes, like actually often what I've done, I'm like, you know what? Just record what you have, and you can hate it. Record what you have and put it in the editor and start editing. And literally half the video gets changed by the time it comes out, because like I will be listening to it, right? And I'll be editing it in real time and seeing how it looks with clips, and I go, oh, duh, right? I need another sentence there to, you know, transition ideas. Or that totally doesn't belong. Or that's super redundant. Let me take that out. So it's like, at a certain point, it's like, record or whatever it is, right? Just start, just, you know, whatever the metaphor, put the paint on the canvas and you can paint over it, right? Yeah. Just get, or you can add something, you can see how it actually looks, because I, you know, the worst part is the waiting, is the thinking about it. And then at a certain point you just, you know, that thought just sort of died at the very end, but you get what I'm saying. Like half, so much of the editing happens once I've quote unquote finished writing, which is neat. So, which is why sometimes I have to do the thing where I'm like, I know you hate the script, put it there and then just let it breathe.
Yeah. I think one of the most like important pieces of advice I've gotten, I don't know if someone told me this or it was probably from some book or YouTube article or YouTube article. That's a new thing now, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I've heard.
Or something or other. Where it's just like, you know, if you're getting stuck on something, just take a second, step back, and come back tomorrow and try it again. And you'll look at it from a different angle, from fresh ears, fresh eyes.
Eyes were ears.
I'm really good at anatomy. Is going great. But, and like, that has helped me a lot with like when I'm doing music, because I do the same thing where like my voice memo is just a shit show of random things. It's like, oh, it's me whistling this random thing, and it's 6 seconds. Sometimes I can get something from it. Sometimes it's just, like, incoherent. And then it's just, you know, you never know when that's an idea that can turn into something. And it's super cool when it does. And if it doesn't, then it was an idea you had, and that's that.
There are two things, yes. There are two things, advice-wise, that I've heard. And they're the opposites of each other. But the one that I was told was, don't let perfect be the enemy of done, which I need all the time, right? Because, like, at a certain point, look, if you're making stuff, art, video, music, you're always going to want to fix something or change something or want something to be better. Because, like, whatever, that's a, you know, hollow pursuit, but we all do it, right? But at a certain point, if you do that forever and then you're never done. And on the flip side, you know, I have less trouble with this, but don't let done be the enemy of good, because I definitely, you know, there have been the amount of nights that I've been like, I'm totally gonna upload this tonight, and then I don't, right? Because I'm like, I could upload it right now, but I really need to change this one part, right? And like, and then you have to weigh, okay, is it worth it for me to delay a day or whatever, stay up super late trying to rewrite this bit, because then it's out there forever, and you have to weigh that. But don't let perfect be the enemy of done, which is really good if you're someone who gets obsessed with details and can't see the forest for the trees. And but also, you know, don't let done be the enemy of good either, if you're just, which I think people can get into, especially, I haven't gotten to that point quite yet, but you know, when you're, you have a lot of subscribers or whatever, a lot of pressure somewhere for whatever you're doing to upload or make stuff on a schedule that is not yours, right? And you're like, okay, well, you need this, so here. And then you're like, okay, are you proud of this? So, you know, it's towing the line of those two things, of not getting so in your head that you never ever make anything, but also not being so fixated on deadlines or someone else's, you know, expectation of what you're going to do. Let it get in the way of work that you're actually proud of. So, you know, we're literally, I am figuring this out every time I do something new. So, like, hit me up in 6 months and I'll have figured something else out. But...
Well, it's a constantly evolving process. You're, like, literally always learning every time you make something, every time you edit something, so.
I'm still terrible at Final Cut, and I do this now, so, like, I am one of the most inefficient video editors, and here we are. Like, I know that there are faster ways to do things, but, you know, I just work here, so.
We all just work here. We're just... making things, you know? Don't ask to see my manager. She's not in.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, it feels like it's kind of this frustrating balancing act that you always have to walk between, where it's just like, oh, it just has to be done. Because I think at some point you also get to a point where it can easily transition from one to the other, where you're just like obsessing and over something and trying to make it perfect and perfect and perfect, and then you get to a point where it's like, oh, I just need to be done with this so I can move on to something else. And so then it's just like, it can like flip on a dime like that. I don't have an example for going the other way, but it's, yeah, it's, no, frustrating, and I drive myself insane doing that.
And yeah, whichever one you need to tell yourself in the moment, because like, also, like, I, you know what I mean? Like, you're always gonna be dissatisfied, and the point is that you will keep, I mean, ideally, you keep practicing a skill, you will keep improving in that skill, and so to some degree, I'm not trying to, like, romanticize, you know, things that are frustrating, but to some degree, right, yeah, you know, you're gonna look back on this video in, or this song, right, in 6 months, you're gonna go, man, that's not as good as I wanted it to be. I could do something better now. Cool, great. Exactly. That's the fucking point. Great. Now you can make something even better because you've gotten better. Like, make your peace with that. Or, you know, that's me talking to myself. Like, I first of all, I'm physically incapable of rewatching my videos. It makes me cringe. It's like, the second I upload a video, I'm like, I can't touch it anymore. I can't look at it. I can't hear it. I cannot do it. But like, if I were to, I would go, wow, yikes. I wish I would have written that differently. Or, wow, my delivery, you know, could be so much more relaxed. And it's like, cool. Great. That's the point. We get better. But you gotta let yourself do that. Just let yourself put out the best you can right now, and with the knowledge that, yeah, you'll probably look back on it, you'll probably be like, man, there's stuff I don't like. Awesome. Tight. Do something better now, you know?
Yeah. I think that's a super good point, because so like, I had the exact same thing with One Mild Band. We released, so we have music on Spotify and whatnot, and so like, our very first EP, I think that, like, we're all just, like, it was the first thing that we've ever done and, like, put out into the world, like, that officially. And so we were all super excited and we're like, ah! And then immediately we were like, uh-oh, we could have done better. And then we went on to, like, an album, and then we're like, oh, this sounds so good. But then immediately after, we're just like, ah! We could have done better. But now it's at the point, like, looking back, I feel like that was several years ago. And now looking back on those things, and I actually finally did get to the point where I can sit down and listen to that album and be like, we did pretty good. Like, this sounds pretty good for what we were dealing with and what we, you know, had available to us. And so I think that with that kind of thing, it takes time to let everything simmer before you can look back and appreciate, you know, where you were. Like, it can be kind of hard to listen to or watch, like you said. Like, they're, like, after releasing something, it's terrifying to go back and revisit it. At least, for, like, for me, that's how I am. Like, for, I recently did, like, an EP last year, and I can't go back and listen to it.
Yeah, totally. You get the feeling. It's a real feeling. It's, like, it's very weird, but it's, like, yeah. It's fun.
Oh, man. Okay, so, actually, I just wanted to let you know that, like, I have, like, notes, like, oh, what are we going to maybe talk about this? And, A, it's a mess, because I don't know what I'm doing, but
we are just one of the lines... three homies having a conversation. Go on.
Exactly. Yeah, but I think the one that I just wanted to point out was the fact that I have a line here that says, basically, I just want to scream about She-Ra.
Oh, jeez. Don't even push me, because I am like, seconds from a She-Ra spiral at any given time. Like, I hide that I'm on the edge, because it's been enough months, but, like, don't push me. Like, I can and I will. I have this plan. So my very favorite shows, like, again, in this case, Buffy and Avatar, I have broken both of them to some degree, because I've watched them so many times to the degree that it's not even like in a fun way, but, like, I have every beat memorized. It's awful. And so to the point that the shows start to feel less like I'm watching a story and more like I'm reading a script that I already have in my head, and it's not as enjoyable. So I'm giving myself a full year off of Buffy at the very least until I come back. I watched She-Ra so many times at the end and then with a couple friends that I can talk about it, but I am not watching it. I have put it in a safe deposit that I'm not touching until May, at least, because I don't want to break it. It's so precious to me that I'm like, I do not want to have this memorized, because if I have it memorized, I'm not going to have it memorized. But anyhow, it's fantastic. It touched me in ways that a show has not moved me in a very long time. Yeah, and I got a She-Ra tattoo. That's how you know, like, that I completely lost it. So, you know.
What's your tattoo?
It's just the season 5 sword on the back of my arm.
Hell yeah.
That I got matching with my friend. So, yeah. It's only wonderful things to say about that show. So, you know, I mean, you lead the way, Patrick, but.
Yeah, I am also in the same boat. Like, I watched that show because I saw you tweet about it a whole bunch, and I was like, okay. And then I saw the videos coming out, and I need to watch this. And so I did. And I had the same experience where I hadn't had a show or like a story or something like touch me in that way in like a long time. Like, I read the book Normal People last year in a book club, which they made into a mini series on Hulu. Yeah, I think that was like there was a whole train of just stories that, like, I was like, oh yeah, emotions can hit you like really fucking hard. 'Cause they did Looking for Alaska, and I sat and like bawled through that, because that was like one of my favorite books in high school. And then they did The Normal People, which that was, you have to read the book before you watch the show, but both are very good. And then She-Ra was just this new, you know, sheer TV show story that I was kind of ready for, because I saw how you reacted to it and how much you loved it and how invested you were in it. But it still, that didn't prepare me enough for what I ended up feeling. And so I highly recommend watching that show. You definitely have to watch that show. Beth, you have to watch that show.
maybe I will.
Dude, that makes me so fucking happy. Like every time you would be like, oh my god, like, I just finished season 3. I was like, fuck, yeah! Like, I love to see it. Yeah, makes me really happy. I mean, speaking of, with regards to, like, hybrids of, like, you know, the kinds of shows, She-Ra's obviously, you know, it's a hybrid. It's mostly, actually, I wouldn't even say, especially in the later seasons, it's more serialized than episodic, but it's episodic in the beginning a little bit more, you know, it's got the little one-offs, but it's done in a way that's entirely character-driven and relationship-driven, and that is my favorite and juiciest kind of story. Like, everything is propelled by the choices characters make, and it's which just makes for such a fucking impactful and moving viewing experience. Like, it's so good. Like, so good, man. So that's, you know, there, that's my case study for one kind of hybrid incredibly well executed.
Incredible show. Like, yeah, it, I was floored. I also watched it, like you said, and it's, it almost felt like a blur at the end. I was like, what just happened?
Yeah. Hold on to that. Like, don't do the thing that I did, and well, I haven't done it to Shiri yet, but don't break it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, save, I mean, you do what you want. You're an
yeah.
adult.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, that's, I think it is worth, you know, saving in a safe little corner. Dude, when I first watched the finale, like, I cannot overstate how much, like, I've cried. I've cried at movies and shows and stuff, but I cried out of, like, sheer relief and joy in a way that I can't remember having done in a while. Just, like, this, like, oh my god, they're okay. Like, I just sobbing. Just gross sobbing. And I did something. You know what? Why am I talking like this is, like, a middle school, like, news thing? I'm allowed to talk about alcohol. Jesus. I was like, can I say fuck words? And oh, yeah. But no, what I did in order to not break it for myself, because I have the propensity to do that, because I watched season 5 a couple more times. The second I start watching the last 4 episodes, right, from Return to the Fright Zone onwards, I get drunk. Not like sloppy, messy, I can't, like, think straight drunk, but drunk enough that I forget most of the details so that it never gets old. I couldn't tell you beat for beat, like, in what order things happen in the last 4 episodes, and I wanted to stay that way, because then it's new every time. I'm a genius. Like, I hacked it. Like, I simply, it will never get old, because I will simply forget it the second I finish it. So, who's actually winning? Me. Me. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's great. I had, honestly,
it's called innovation.
I had, like, a super similar experience with Adventure Time, which I think is, it's an interesting one. I know you're watching through it now.
Yes. I have paused, but that is the goal, to watch all of it.
Yeah, it's that one is an interesting one, since it's, and I think it's a different approach to storytelling, and for me, like, the deeper rooted storylines really don't kick in until later in the seasons, which is kind of a bummer if you're trying to watch it front to back. But I think, like, as you were saying, like, you're worried about, like, going and revisiting something so often that it kind of, like, breaks to an extent. And I think that's one thing that's kind of built in a nice buffer for me with that show, is that there are just so many episodes, and there's a bunch of, like kind of weird zany ones, especially early on, where certain characters get a little bit annoying. But then at the same time, like, to go back to that idea that you started off with, is, like, you introduce these characters to your home, and you kind of watch them develop through years and years. And so, like, I can only imagine, you know, being a kid and watching, like, She-Ra or Adventure Time, and watching these characters grow up, and, like, growing up with them. Because, like, now looking back at them as an adult, like, there are a lot of, like, themes and ideas that they address and tackle that I feel like we never really got, at least at that level, when we were kids. And I think
I beg to differ, because Avatar, but
that's true. That's true. That I think that would be the only exception that I can think of, because I feel like when you have, you don't get, like, these huge grand, like, stories like these where it goes on for a long time. Whereas, like, a lot of kids' TV shows are very, like you said, Monster of the Week, but it's not as much of, like, a point A to point B story, like, over a long period of time. It's kind of just, oh, what's going on this week? And so it's just, it gives me a lot of hope for kids who get to grow up on, you know, more shows that are like Avatar and She-Ra and Adventure Time. Because, like, and I think, yeah, Adventure Time was a funky one, because I actually watched the Islands arc first, and that was the first, you know, huge kind of story chunk, and I was like, and it hooked me, because I was like, wow, this, like, I felt, like, emotionally, personally attacked, because I wasn't expecting to, you know, feel, you know, what I felt from just watching that, so then I had to go back and watch it, and that's, you know, now I got a tattoo. Same thing, yeah.
Love that so much.
Yeah, I don't know, it's, it just gives me hope to see these shows that are marketed to younger audiences. And at least, again, this is like from my perspective, looking back as an adult, like that are tackling these like issues and values and ideas. And I feel like very effectively and very openly, whereas it's, you know, I guess it's come a long way from, well, what are they called? The Adventures Grimm or no.
Billy and whatever Mandy?
Those fairy tales. No.
I was like,
that show doesn't hold up. It was weird. We tried that in college. It's an odd one, but no, the like all the fairy tales, like the original like Hansel and Gretel and stuff, which are something Grimm.
What I find so interesting, right, is like which look. I mean, we're full of nostalgia and we'll watch all sorts of stuff, but like why certain shows, which were obviously marketed to younger audiences, you know, I was the target audience when Avatar aired, and I was 9, mm-hmm. right, and I still like it now. She-Ra is a Y7 cartoon, and I am. Me and many other, you know, late teens, early 20s, mid-20s people, like, the fans are, a large chunk of them are composed of people who are not in the target audience. Why? Why does that work? Why does that work versus another show where that's not as much the case? And it's like, you can speak to a target audience, right, as in, you know, obviously, no, you know, real gore or whatever, you know, stuff like that. And you can speak, you know, even just the language you use can be maybe a bit more simple. Not even then, right? Or, you know, the story beats can fall in a different way. But the idea is, like, this idea that, like, kids are stupid, right? Or kids aren't, you know, human beings with the same burgeoning, you know, complex questions and feelings and turmoil and all sorts of things. Like, I specifically, like, Avatar and She-Ra in my head, I'm like, are complete absolutely not to that. Just like, no, we can speak to kids, we can speak in a way that, you know, kids might understand more easily, but it doesn't have to be that dumbed down. Like, kids are not stupid, and, right, these ideas are ideas that everybody can be, you know, compelled by at any age. Like, I watched She-Ra at 23 years old, and I never felt like I was being, you know, talked down to. You know, like I'm watching a cartoon, right? Obviously, but I never felt like I was watching something that was, you know, talking down to its audience or beneath me. That sounds so pretentious, but you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's how you talk to kids, right? If I can feel completely at home with it as a 23-year-old, you want it, that's why it's going to work for kids too, because if you're trying to impart these, not even lessons, but try to impart these ideas and try to work with kids. It's like, hey, how do you talk about, you know, abuse and trauma, right? Without using so many words. Kid, you do so in a way that doesn't feel condescending. So, and that's, it, clearly there is a balance to be, that you're able to strike where it works. And I think that's very cool. I think that's incredibly cool. And that's why I think, you know, obviously, like, I don't think a lot of people are in disagreement in the sense that there's a pretty sizable, you know, popular and critical consensus on how tight Avatar and She-Ra are. But, like, they're just as worthy of critical analysis and, you know, as any other piece of, you know, storytelling. Like, animation alone, right? Or things with a typically younger audience, younger target audience, those alone don't discredit something, you know, a story's ability to be complex and meaningful. Like, again, like, you can, I can just as easily argue so many, you know, adult or teen marketed shows, even, you know, adult marketed shows, not all of them, but they're meant, you know, many that lack certain emotional substance, right? I'm not saying all, like, as a hard and fast rule, but, you know, that target audience and the genre, you know, animation, don't alone discredit anything. I mean, and if they do, then that's real embarrassing for me being 23 talking about it. But also, yeah, no, it's, I mean, not.
At the end of the day, it's a story, and if it connects with us, then it did its job.
Exactly, exactly. Stories exist for their, like, for their own sake. That's, yeah. Like, I cried when I finished She-Ra, so job well done. Thank you very much. You know? Yeah. And that's, yeah, I mean, if I may, I'll give you a hand at maybe redirecting the conversation a tad. That's what I wanted to do with the channel, is I took inspiration in the sense of, from the sort of impetus behind Passion of the Nerd, which is, so you asked me initially, like, what sort of spurred this, and Passion of the Nerd, if either of you like or watch Buffy, and if you don't, that's, you know what, that's okay, we all have flaws, that's fine, who is a YouTuber that my best friend and I, or Fox, we, I didn't even know that we liked his channel at the same time. Then we were like, hey, check out this channel. Oh, that's one of my favorites too. But he does a, you know, episode by episode breakdown of all of Buffy and all of Angel, and he's going to do other stuff, obviously. But his, he either said this at some point or it's just apparent in his work. In the wake of so much video essay commentary stuff that's just like, oh, this thing is bad or this thing is good, or just like a glorified summary, his work was as impactful to me as the shows themselves, in the sense that you can feel, he's definitely said this, like, that with every video he wants to try to connect to the person, you know, on the other side of the screen, right? Like, and that's what I want to do, because, and there's nothing wrong with, like, necessarily with commentary that's just like, you know, thing good, thing bad, but there's a lot of it, and I find it personally, like, what's the point, right? If the story touched me and the story touched you, what can we make of that together? You know what I mean? And without necessarily needing to come up with some, like, grand, you know, revelation about life, but just, like, clearly, right, you watched this and it made you feel a certain way, right? And same. So how did it do that? Why did it do that? And again, and into different capacities and different types of videos. Like, obviously, I want to do sort of an episode-by-episode breakdown of Person of Interest, right? Where not every single video or episode will be this groundbreaking thing. But even just to be, like, the intent behind every video is I want to make it not just, you know, me, you know, in my own intellectual, like, circle jerk with myself, but to be, like, okay, if I'm talking to someone else, right, what can we make of this together? That's just the intent that I want to have behind everything I make. And I'm not saying that I can always do that in the most effective or perfect way, but that's what I want to do. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I feel like that's worked, or the comments in especially the Catherine Adora videos have been incredibly heartening, honestly, because it makes me feel like I, you know, I did the thing, at least a little bit, I did the damn thing of, like, people being like, oh man, this really made me realize XYZ about myself, and I'm like, fuck yeah, tight, that's what I'm here for, that's what we're here for. So that's the kind of YouTube stuff I want to say, which is why I'm not, like, it's not, like, strictly video essay or not video essay, but it's the kind of stuff that I want to make with human connection in mind, if that doesn't sound too preachy or pretentious. Deep breaths.
I don't think connecting to other humans is preachy or pretentious. I know.
Yeah, but, you know, when you're, it can be a little bit, and you embrace that. Listen, yeah. You know, like, yeah. You say the word absurdism, you start talking about, you know, purpose and meaning. You know, you gotta roll your eyes at yourself just a little. There's nothing wrong with being earnest, though. I think sincerity is very cool and important, but, you know, in balance. Yeah. And that's why, like, the stuff I want to talk about, like, I'm not saying I will never make a, you know, critical or negative video. It's just that, like, I for a hot second I was like, oh, I watched the Firefly movie and it made me upset, I won't talk about it, but I was like, man, I'll watch, I've seen it before, but it just made me very upset, frankly, actually, for the way that it tossed out 14 episodes of established character to fit a, you know, edgy blockbuster vibe, and literally made the main character body snatched version of himself. Like, I don't know who this is. You wanted him to be an action hero, and he's not, and I do not recognize this man, please. Anyway, but I thought about that, and for a hot second I was like, okay, I'm gonna make a movie review of, you know, why the Firefly movie was bad. And I immediately, as I started thinking about it, I was like, I'm not excited to make that. Like, I don't really want to talk about something I didn't like, you know? Like, I just get so stoked to be like, fuck, I love Catra. Like, fuck, man. Like, I want to talk about her, like, or, like, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend's, you know, opening songs are so cool, the way they, you know, set up the entire season. Like, God, I want to talk about that. So I want to be able to connect with people, and I want to talk about stuff I love. Again, I'm not saying that there's no place for critical YouTube stuff. It's good, it's important, I think there's a lot of people who do it well. But I'm I find it unfulfilling, and I'm tired of seeing it so much, because I think just for stuff that I want to make, I like talking about stuff that I love so much more, like infinitely more. And that's the kind of stuff I want to offer to people, and that I want to, like, hey, do you want to, like, you love this thing, I love this thing, you want to talk about it? You know, like, come on, let's, you know, because at the end of the day, like, everything is, I could criticize everything I love, and I have, and I do, on my Twitter. But if I'm going to put hours and hours and hours and, you know, hating myself in the middle of the night, editing, I might as well do it for something that I like, you know, so.
Well, I think it's important to talk about the things that you love, because, you know, like, making all that, the negative videos and stuff, there's a lot of, I feel like it's a lot of clickbait. And I'd much rather the clickbait thing be, this is why things are great, not why literally, everything, man, you love is terrible.
That's what I want people to feel when they come to the channel. You know? That's what I want people to feel.
Well, let me go on a little tangent, because I was talking to Patrick, and we were talking about things that we wanted to talk about. I said talk a lot. We were thinking about things that we love and things that feel like coming home. And I was thinking about things that feel like coming home. And what does that feel like to you? Like,
ooh. I don't know, man. Like, I guess, like, I mean, off the top of my head, like, to be cheesy, like, I mean, a lot of these stories feel like coming home to me. I mean, like, I, you know, I grew up with Avatar, and then I was a teen with Buffy, and those shows feel very warm to me. And I rewatch them, you know, every year at least, or at least every 2 years. And that feels nice, because, like, I connect to who I was the last time I watched it, and obviously who I was the first time I watched it. So those for sure, like, you know, obviously other stuff in my actual life, but, like, you know, there's stories that I feel like these are my friends, and there's pieces of me in it, which is neat. I feel very at home with, well, I mean, we'll see how much this changes. I am 23, but I do feel pretty at home with myself, which is nice. I think I'm not perfect at it. I'm certainly not perfect at anything, but I do feel a comfort with being on my own, you know, just like, you know, during the day and in the stuff that I make. So that's nice. Hope that's a satisfactory answer.
No, that was, I was thinking about shows that feel like coming home. Like, every time you put it on, you're like, this is it. This is putting on my cozy blanket, and this is what makes me, like, feel good. And I think that's really important, to find those feel-good shows and those feel-good activities and those feel-good places, even that aren't home, like walking through the front door, like putting on She-Ra and, like, watching She-Ra.
God, oh, yeah, literally, okay, there's my other answer. She-Ra feels, yeah, like home right now. I genuinely, like, unironically.
I don't know, I thought it was funny that, because I sat down and I rewatched your, She-Ra Gives Us Hope. And I love the idea of how you were kind of picking apart, like, oh, this word, this word, this word. And so I have, and then right before we started recording, Beth brought up the idea of, like, home. And I was like, wow, it's kind of funny that you haven't seen any of her videos yet. And you started talking about home. And then I have this whole idea of, like, home.
Oh, and yeah.
It just kind of, I guess it feels very fitting that we ended up landing here.
That. I mean, also because, like, I mean, not to, this isn't a She-Ra podcast, but, like, you know, these are two people, obviously, that you're meant to relate to, but these are two people who have spent so much time running, I mean, not to be too dramatic, but running from themselves and, you know, in following paths that have been carved out for them, you know, one of extreme self-defensive villainy and the other of extreme sacrificial heroism, and neither of these people are doing what they actually want, and, you know, whatever, and we all do that to less dramatic extents or to dramatic extents, I don't know, we've been teenagers, you know, and in the last season where they're, like, finally looking for some peace, there's that, like, we're going home, and it's like, you know, perhaps trying to return to yourself, and I think that's a very admirable pursuit. And I think to yada yada, to build that, you need to, you know, find that a little bit of peace in being with yourself. Yada yada, yada yada. Anyway, body yada.
I thought that was perfect.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm a writer. Can you tell? That was, yes. The joke, if I could have written that out, it would have been a writer with air quotes. But, you know, But now I told you the joke, so it's doubly funny. Go on.
Patty, did you have other questions? Because I feel like the being, like, comfortable with yourself thing is a good...
I feel like that's a really good, like, ending note.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yes. So, you're the first, like, guest we've had on. So, we're going to make sure that we actually do this whole ending correctly with having a guest. So, like, is there anything that...
I was going to say, I have one more thing to...
Yeah.
That I thought about. Like, you know, that I think to some degree, as human people, I'm a huge fan of the human experience, 10 out of 10. I think we all have some impetus to create, you know, whatever that might be, you know, to interact with our environment and make stuff. And in this case, like, again, I make silly little videos on silly little YouTube, but it's like, it's been... Especially now, where, like, I spend a lot of time in my room. It's been a really cool way to connect to others and to connect to myself. Because, I mean, obviously, first of all, I have to record myself. I have to write my own words, right? To some degree of confidence that I think people won't completely hate them. I have to say them out loud, as though I'm talking to someone alone in my room. And then I have to hear them over and over and over and over and over when I edit them until I get sick of hearing my voice and... feel nauseous at the sound of it. And all that self-deprecation aside, you know, like, I get to see the final product and be like, man, like, that's me. I made that. Nobody else did. Those are my ideas that turn into my script that is now my voice and my little funny edits. And that's me. And I think that's why creation of any kind, musical, visual, whatever, writing... You get to, it's hard to see yourself from the inside, and so you, when we make stuff, however you want to define that, you get to sort of have a little bit of a reflection, and I think that's very neat, and I think you can sort of see your thought process and see yourself grow and change in real time with the stuff you make. So that's, I mean, it's not like I've never done this before. Obviously, I've been writing essays all my life in school. And I, like, draw and paint occasionally, but nothing's ever quite felt like this. So this is, again, I'm in the first year of this, so this is very new to me, and it feels really cool. It feels like I can see myself in a more clear way, and I dig it. I dig it quite a lot, so yeah.
The snaps.
Hell yeah.
You are welcome to edit those out.
Okay, I'm just envisioning finger guns.
Exactly, you envisioned correctly.
Yes. Perfect. Fuck, that was I like that.
Sorry, we need you to plug yourself. We need people to find you.
Oh, geez. I mean, it's 5x5 takes on youtube.com. I promise I will make stuff more frequently. If you let, I have a lot of person of interest content I want to make because that show is woefully under talked about. Not underrated, but not talked about. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, absolute masterpiece of a show. Always She-Ra, though I'm taking a break for a second because I've made a lot of She-Ra. Buffy, Angel, Firefly. Yeah. So, yeehaw. And obviously my buddy Fox is a huge Trekkie, so if you like Star Trek, there's that as well. But so literally just all the stuff that's worth liking. And I'm the Blue Tomato on Twitter. Please don't follow me. I'm literally not funny, but that's your deal.
I beg to differ.
Oh, boy. And there is no meaning behind that name. People have asked me before. I have nothing. I made it when I was little.
The tomato is fucking blue.
I wish it didn't sound so lol random XD sometimes, but I'm like, also, I've attached myself to this handle. Like, I've been attached since I was 11. I'm not changing it. Blue tomato is me, and I'm Blue Tomato. And I, for however tragic that might be, we are tethered now. So, and blue does not have an E. If whoever hears this does the tragic thing and decides to follow me, go for it. Go nuts. Yeah. Super tight. Precious in its design, the way the door shut, but I still can't see through fine. You're still on my mind. Wonder if I'm ever going to find. I think we covered all our bits.
Yeah,
y'all got your little cheeky little outro.
Yeah, well.
Oh
that's a you thing.
Okay. Or should we do?
I don't know.
Sorry, I've kind of been treating this last little bit like a workshop. That's my bad.
Yeah, no, we don't, like, again, we don't know what we're doing. Like, as of right now, what we could do is we have you plug your stuff, and then we have, like, the outro music, and then we have this segment where we're just awkwardly talking about, like, oh, do we have a cheeky little outro? Not yet. Maybe we'll have one.
That is your outro. So.
Yeah. Boom. And we'll play this at the end of every episode, and you're featured in it.
I'm thrilled.